Hi guys, welcome back to the Nevermind Polly podcast. My name is Matt, I'm your host, and we chat to rock and metal bands from around the world. How are you doing? How are you living? I hope you're all doing well. Wherever you are listening or watching the podcast, we appreciate you for checking out the show. My guest this time around is the excellent Fabio of the band Slope. This is a fantastic interview with a fantastic band. They have a brand new record out called Freak Dreams on the 2nd of February. And it is genuinely fucking wonderful. This is a fantastic, fantastic record. It mixes elements of kind of funk, elements of rap, elements of hip-hop, elements of Red Hot Chili Peppers, Beastie Boys, Turnstile, Madball. Such a fucking excellent, like, smorgasbord of stuff. I cannot recommend this album highly enough to you guys. I really, really hope you guys check it out. I really hope you like it. I really hope you enjoy this interview with Fabio. I want to do a massive shout out to Adam and Jasmine over at the Noise Cartel for sorting this one out. And of course, Fabio for his time. This is just so good. I'm just going to shut up and let you guys listen to this conversation with Fabio of Slope on the Nevermind Polly podcast. Let's get to it. Hi guys, welcome back to the Nevermind Polly podcast. My name is Matt, I'm your host, and we chat to rock and metal bands from around the world. And this time around, I'm sat down with a band whose album I am fully obsessed with. I got sent it just before Christmas, and it was the best Christmas present I've received this year. I'm sat down with Fabio of the band Slope. How are we doing, sir? How's things?
Thank you. First, thank you for the kind words. I'm doing great. We're doing great. Winter holidays over. And all of us start working, but it's good. We had a good start in the year. Absolutely. How about you?
Yeah, all good, mate. All good here. It's I get married this year.
Perfect.
Actually, as we record this, I get married in 6 months today. So we are kind of getting to that point where it's kind of crunch time and sort of getting things sorted. But apart from that, I'm holding it down. I think that's the expression.
Yeah.
So far, so good. We are here to talk all about your brand new record, Freak Dreams. It's out on the 2nd of February. As I just alluded to, I got sent the album sort of mid-December. My first kind of question is, as we sit here around about just under a month until the album's released, what's the mood like in camp? How are you feeling about the record? How are the rest of the band feeling about it? What's the mood like?
To be honest, this record is the most satisfying record I think we ever wrote. And we are, like, all five of us are, like, really happy about it. And because it took us some time to write it, but it's on this record, really every song, we fucking with every song. Sometimes it's like there's one song that you don't like as much as the others, but on this record, it's like every song is on the same level of likeness. To each, and it makes fun. We are at the moment, we are a lot in the rehearsal room, going for the new songs that we can play it on a release tour, and it's so much fun. We're really looking forward to it.
Nice, and that's the thing as well. So this is going to sound like such a wanky thing to say, and I don't mean it to, right? But I love it when an album takes you on a journey, right? And I don't ever want to put anything on and I get sent. If I get sent it, if I go on Spotify or whatever, I always go in with the best intention going, I'm going to like this. And if I don't like it, that's fair enough because everything can't be for everybody. But when this first came in, I was like, oh, it's kind of like funky. And then the beat starts. I'm like, oh, okay. And then like immediately I was immersed in it because, again, the easy comparison points for you guys as a band, sort of Beastie Boys, early Chili Peppers, Rage Against, that kind of thing. And I was like, this is really kind of scratching that itch that I needed scratching. So I was like, this is kind of cool. And then by the end of the album, you pull a fucking blinder on that final track. That caught me so off guard that I was listening to it when me and my partner just went shopping for some groceries and stuff. And I said, I've got an album you might like. I will stick it on the car. And she said, what is it? It's a band called Slope. Okay, cool, put it on. And she's like, this is really good. And then we got to the final track on the way home and she just audibly started laughing. And I was like, this is fucking, and I was like, and then the thing is with that particular song is it's when it kind of, it does the almost fake stops, right? It's where it's like, and it's like, cool, dun, and it's like, yeah, and then it just keeps building. And I'm just, I'm trying not to piss myself laughing because I'm just like, this is so fucking like. So what it reminded me of, I'm not sure how familiar you are with the song, but I believe it's a song called by Blackalicious, who does It's basically, it's a really viral clip years ago of Daniel Radcliffe on the Jimmy Fallon show rapping this song, yeah. Right? And basically it starts off at A and goes the way to Z, and the further it gets along the alphabet, it gets more and more quick. That end part just gives me that vibe so much, and it's just like, this is fucking class. Like, so my first real question is, when are you coming over to the UK? Because I need to see this in the UK. But
soon. I can tell you the dates right now, but it's definitely going to be this year.
Mm-hmm. Amazing.
I don't know the dates right now, but we've got something in planning with our booking agency. So we're definitely going to come over to UK this year.
Nice. So as obviously I've heard the record and everything, my kind of question for you to start with is, as the singles have gone out, what's the reception been like with the fans, with the media? How has the kind of the singles that are out there in the world today been received by the fans and things?
I think all in all, very positive. Very positive feedback. We got I think our sound is sometimes a little bit different or controversial. So you got people who love it and got people who absolutely hate it. But that's cool for us. For us, it's the most important thing is that the music we bring out satisfies ourselves. And if people fucking with it, it's definitely cool. And if not, then it's also okay for us.
Absolutely.
So. But the thing is, with like bringing this over Century Media, the background is a lot different to albums we did before. It's like very much interest of media in it, much interviews, much stuff to work around, except for music. Mm. That's new to us, but it's cool. It's a fun thing to do.
Absolutely.
Enjoy it.
Absolutely. That was the thing. So when this came out on, like I say, it's coming out on Century Media. Century Media as a record label has kind of, like you say, got a reputation of kind of more heavy end of alternative things like that. But I think this is really cool. Like, I don't want to keep singing your praises too much as we have the Zoom call, but I genuinely think it's really cool because it's something that people like myself, who I love going through the catalogue of a record label and going, cool, Century Media, who have they got coming out this year? Bash, bash, bash. And I'll try and listen to a lot of it. So hopefully it will catch a few people off and go, oh, I've not heard this band. And then instantly they're like, yeah, either switched on or they're switched off by it. But I think what the key thing is if you release something and it doesn't make a splash at all, that's kind of what you don't want. It's kind of that indifference of being like, yeah, this is kind of, okay, fine, like on to the next thing. If people go, I love it, or people go, I hate it, at least you've got like a visceral reaction either way, if that makes sense.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Even a, like a bad response, mm-hmm, is, for me, I think to myself about it, when you get a bad response, it's also like triggers him enough that he talks about it.
Yeah.
If it was like not important, he wouldn't say something about it. So it's when you spin it back around, also a good reputation.
Absolutely. All press, no matter negative, positive, is always good because it's coverage. Yeah. That's the way you got to look at it. So I think it's really interesting to find out where musicians and bands have come from, what inspired their journey into getting into the music and things like that. So where does your kind of musical journey begin as yourself personally? Was it friends, family? How did you get into alternative music?
I'm gonna start right at the beginning.
Yeah, absolutely. Go for it.
Our other singer Simon and our guitarist Philip, we're like childhood friends. We know each other since we're 3 years old, mm-hmm, and we lived together since we were 16 17. We got a flat together.
Amazing.
And when we were 16 or 17, we asked ourselves, what do we do? Do we open up a bar when we're 18, or do we start a band? And then we started a band, and it was like on a low level, just hobby thing. None of us could play an instrument when we started making music. And after the Helix EP, then we had like a little chat and said, do we want to make this as a hobby, or do we try to get to bigger festivals and do this more professional? And luckily we did that.
Nice.
We put that option and put in work from there on. And Patty is Paddy O'Drummer. He's there since the Helix EP, I think, since 2015 or something. And our former bass player, Flo, he left the band, I think, 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. He also did like 3 songs on this album. And Josh jumped in 3 years ago, 4 years ago, to fill in for Flo.
Nice. And that's the thing. I think, again, just looking kind of, I've been watching YouTube videos of you guys playing live, and I've kind of been reading as much as I can about you guys but prior to the interview. It does seem like a well-connected, well kind of put together team. And the fact you refer to yourselves as a gang is super cool. Because like I love bands like Killing Joke and Murder Dolls and things like that. They always felt more like a gang rather than a quote unquote band. Because I think the word band sometimes can have connotations of a business, and essentially that's what bands are these days. You know what I mean? You have to run your own merch. You have to do this. You have to do that. But when you boil it right down, when you were 17, 16, moving in with your friends, you wanted to be like, cool, I want to play in a band. I want to just play music and just do fun shit. Do you know what I mean? So it referring yourself to a gang makes more sense in that respect, you know?
Yeah, and like it's another part about that Slope Gang stuff. Mm-hmm. Everybody around this band who's doing like photos, media, who is helping us out in either way, are also the same friends that we have since we were like eight years old. So we know each other our whole lives.
Nice.
So it's even away from the music, we were called like Slope Gang, and it has nothing to do with music.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's really cool as well, the fact you can bring your friends up and things, you know, like you say, it's just kind of this thing's been built organically from the bottom. Because so from my kind of background, I've done a lot of YouTube content before doing the podcast. That's what I moved into. And like, I'm now in a position where I get to speak to yourself. I get to go to festivals and review them, things like that. And it's kind of like, if I can, I'll bring a friend along. And that's kind of my kind of thank you for all the hard work they did of just me shoving a camera in their face and being like, so it's kind of nice to reap those rewards and be like, cool, I've got this cool thing. I've got a plus one. Do you want to come in? Do you know what I mean? So it is kind of taking your friends along the ride is also really cool. I love that.
Yeah, it's the best thing about it. Like we never imagined like to tour. I think you can say it, to Europe and put your friends on it.
Yeah.
But everybody of them got like has something to do there. If it's like doing photos or tour managing or just a driver or merch guy, but we can all make the same experience together.
Yeah.
Through this music shit, that's the best thing about it.
Absolutely, and that's the thing as well. I think when I was kind of, again, I'm speaking from my own personal experience, when I was younger, I looked at the kind of life of a band as kind of, and I guess some bands right at the very top have this kind of lifestyle of they wake up in a different city, like they have everything done for them. They get like, they get their catering, they get their sit down, they go on stage, they play the show, they go back to the bunk. But like in terms of an actual touring band like yourselves, it is a case of it's a lot more hard graft than that. It is, you know, loading in, loading out, doing merch, all of this thing. And if you haven't got really good people around you, you're going to get kind of hacked off and you're going to get annoyed at each other, you know. And I suppose even the best of friends do that, but like if you've got your best mates on tour with you, it's kind of a party vibe as well, at least I assume, you know.
Yeah, it's definitely, I mean, it's not like really back in the days when we had the first tours. Mm-hmm. Then we really were partying every night
for sure.
We can't do that no more. It's like it's too hard. We get like, we're not 20 anymore, but it's still, we still have days when we go with the whole clique crazy for 2 days or something like that. But it's more like everybody takes it as a work. Mm-hmm. And we still have the cool experience, like holiday feeling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. So let's dive into Fleek, I keep calling it Fleek Dream, it's Freak Dream, I don't know why. Sometimes I write things down and I can't even read my own writing. It's, in my opinion, I've listened to the whole back catalog that's on Spotify and whatnot, a massive step up from the previous albums and things. I kind of wanted to ask, did you approach that in that kind of manner in terms of a creative standpoint, or was it just a case of you guys got in the studio, got together and like, cool, let's just write another record? Or how did that kind of come about in that respect?
The writing process is every time, every output we had was the same. I think it's the only rule. Mm-hmm. in our band. We write songs all with all five in the rehearsal room. There's none of us is writing a song by itself. We all do it together.
Amazing.
And the second thing is, everybody has a veto. If you one person don't like a riff and four people like it, we don't do it because everybody has to feel it when you play it live. And I don't know that we made a plan. We didn't make a plan like we wanted the album to hear like that, mm-hmm. or to sound like that before. But in the writing process, like we mix it up, like how many hard songs do we have by now? How many funky songs do we have by now? What do we want to do? What inspired us or something like that? And through the whole process, I think this time we created the most diverse album we have. But in a good balanced way.
Absolutely. And that's the thing as well. Like, again, the easy comparison points is Beastie Boys, Raging Machines, Early Chili Peppers, all been cited. But I wanted to chuck in there Joey Valance and the Bray, Mad Will, Turnstile, anything that's got shitloads of flair and bounce. And you know what? I really, really needed this record because it was sometimes like, so in the last year, I've been trying to get fit, right? So this is now my new gym album. Because it's got so much pep in its step. Do you know what I mean? And it kind of, when you were younger, I don't know if you guys did this, but like you're listening to music like in the back of your parents' car or whatever, and like you feel like you're in a music video. Like I'm driving down to the album and I'm like, I'm just like, do you know what I mean? And if anyone's coming the other way, I look mental, but it's just that fucking good. It's got loads of fun on it. And I cannot recommend people go and listen to this album. Like, because like I say, if you're a fan of kind of funk and kind of like, there's massive anthemic hooks on it. There's so many hooks on it, but also there's just that end track. Like I could just talk about that end track all day long. Cause it is just like such a right hook, which I fucking love. You guys are heading out on tour as well. You've got 4 dates in Germany, 3 dates in Holland, and then some summer festival appearances have been announced in Europe and things. And we alluded to it at the start. How's tour prep coming along?
Tour prep is doing really great for our release tour. We are nearly sold out in every city, except for the Netherlands dates. I think one Netherlands is low tickets, and the other two are like, I think, half, 50% or something. Nice. But the German cities are nearly sold out, except for Berlin. I think Berlin are 30 tickets or something.
Yeah, come on, but it's Berlin, great sort it out.
Yeah, come on, Berlin. But the crazy thing about it is it's our first headliner tour ever.
I really, we wow, didn't, amazing.
Yeah, nice. And we didn't know what to expect. It could have been way worse than we expected. So this is really great for us. We're really thankful for the support and that we like have a solo tour before the tour, so we don't even have tickets on the venue. That's sick. It's a good feeling.
Absolutely, that's so sick. And I think there are certain moments in life where you think life is just fair and life can be unfair. I think with the most amount of will in the world towards your band, people need to get on this fucking band. Like, and it's one of those things, I'm rubbish at reviewing records, hence why I don't generally do it, because if it's good, I'll just tell anyone and just go, fucking listen to this record. And they're like, okay. Like, literally, I bullied my former co-hosts into listening to a band because I just would not stop, shut up about it. Like, I came out, we'll listen to it, and it's like, oh, it's really good. I'm like, I fucking told you. Like, you know what I mean? So this is my wake up call to everyone on the internet to go and check out Slope, because it's fucking great. It's so fucking good. I wanted to talk about tour and things. This is a question that I kind of like to ask my guests, is if I told you right now that you've got to leave for tour in half an hour, but everything is prepped, everything is done, what is one thing that you're double checking that you haven't forgotten? What's essentially one thing you can't live without on tour?
Well, it's a hard one, bro, but I think it would be AirPods, headphones, music.
For sure.
I think that on my phone, because I like coordinate much of stuff for Slope on the phone.
Yeah.
But I think without music, it's hard without music.
Absolutely. When you guys do go on tour, do you guys have a playlist for the van and the tour bus and things, or is it a case of you're all kind of more individualistic and you put your headphones on and you're just like, I'm just going to chill out and listen to this, or both?
Both. Normally we drive in a 9-seater and the person who's driving just spins on the music. Mm-hmm. But sometimes, you know, like when you're over focused or something like that, I'm just going to put on headphones and watch my music. Or it's the same thing. I do some of the reels for Slope on Insta.
Yeah,
and
for sure.
Sometimes you need like 3 hours for like to cut it and to put it on video. You can't do it on the van, so I put it on headphones.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I want to. If you're the social media man, can we just talk about how much I fucking hate Meta Business Suite and how much of a pain in the ass it is?
Oh, bro, it's a funny thing about it. I have a new phone since I don't know, but I still need to hold my own phone to post on Facebook because I can't connect this shitty Facebook app. With the right account on my new phone. I tried everything. I texted support. I texted for help. Mm-hmm. None of them could help me. So I have an old iPhone and give it a hotspot just for Facebook, and I keep it forever.
Nice. Well, that's the thing. Like, so my other half, my wife-to-be, is a very silent partner in this podcast where she's, like I say this, every good man, has got a good woman standing behind them, propping them up. Or, you know, insert your own specific
that's
sexual preference.
That's so true.
But
that's definitely,
you know,
true.
And I'm sat here, I'm doing all of it, and I'm just literally just wanting to punch the fucking keyboard. And she's like, what's the matter? And I'm like, fucking Meta Business Suite. So yeah, finally I've got someone who I can be like, yeah, it's fucking rubbish, isn't it?
Yeah, it's so rubbish bro. It's the same thing. I think it's the same thing with all social media. I like to do it, like to cut reels and stuff, because I have fun in it, but like to get pressure from it, like you have to post something, you have to stay in talking, you have to, it's not my favorite thing to do.
Absolutely.
Like, create content is cool, but like to be like a advertisement company or something like that, it really gets on my nerve.
It's all the other stuff that comes, as we kind of alluded to at the beginning, it's all the other stuff that comes with being in a band that isn't being in a band, essentially. Do you know what I mean? Something I wanted to ask as well is, it's a question I've asked a few different guests across the years, and it's, what is going on 30 minutes before you hit the stage? Because some bands kind of come together and they're like, right, we're going to get a group huddle, we're going to like fucking talk, psych each other up. Other bands are kind of like a bit more insular and they're like, cool, I'm going to go chill over here, I'm going to go practice, warm up, whatever, and then come together. Some bands do shots of Red Bull. What's kind of your kind of get up for you personally in the band?
And we have like a little like ritual. Mm-hmm. When we have the same sound guy every time. He's also in the gang.
Amazing.
And when we build up, he plays our even if it's on a big festival or shit, he plays our playlist with our music.
Amazing.
And so we hype each other up to the music that we listen to personally. Mm-hmm. And then we have like one song every time, a different song that we played right in front of our set.
Nice.
And after behind the stage, then we're dancing, like jumping around, going full crazy. And then Leonard, his name is Leonard, he's counting down on the ears. We play with in here.
Yeah.
And he said like 30-second boys, 10-second boys, go ready.
Nice.
And then like we hype each other up and go on stage.
Nice. Well, that's the thing as well. I think it's a really underappreciated and undervalued thing when it comes to seeing a live band, because again, I've never been on stage. I never probably will be on stage in terms of being in a band. But when you're stood front of house and you're in the audience and you have like a song come, so it's what's the Metallica one? Ecstasy of Gold. When that comes on, you know they're going to come on. Green Day always do. Bohemian Rhapsody. They always know, you know that's going to happen. You know what I mean? And it's kind of like, it's really like, I think when kind of, it's cool that you kind of take that into consideration, because some bands will just stick on, you know, whatever playlist on Spotify and let it play. And it's kind of like, it's cool, but it, like, if you can really use that, it can really encapsulate the audience and get, you know, like I've seen many a death metal band use like Venger Boys because although metalheads are all scary and everything, they love a bit of fucking cheesy 90s hits. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, so and you get the crowd in the right mood to enjoy.
Absolutely, absolutely. So I've got a couple of final questions for you before we let you go. One of which is a question I've asked every single guest, I believe, since 2022. And essentially, when Spotify or Apple or Amazon or one of these big corporate companies buy this podcast, I am going to put all that sponsorship money they're going to give me. Most people would reinvest it back into the podcast. I say bollocks to that. What I'm going to do is I'm going to throw a big, massive festival, right? And Sloper invited to play along with all the other bands who've previously been on the podcast. It's going to be about a week long at this point. It's going to be great. But the thing is, because we've got loads of lovely sponsorship money, we can kind of have whatever we want on the Dream Rider. Now, every band has put something forward for the Dream Rider for everyone else to kind of share. Some bands don't share their rider, and I think that's a bit mean. But, you know, I'm not here to judge. I'm just... Yeah. So what would you like to have on your Dream Rider? If there's no financial limitations, there's no space limitations. We've had everything from, like, we've had, like, puppies to saunas to, like, specific bottles of, like, red wine. Cool. Like, what would you like to have?
That's so sick. That's such a sick question. What would be... Definitely something like a jacuzzi or something.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
All kind of good drinks. We don't need so much. Our rider is like a small one. We don't have much on it. Good drinks, good food.
I mean, you can, like, this is the thing. You can have whatever you want. Like, someone said to me, I just want Taylor Swift, right? To which point I had to kind of go, in what capacity do you want her? Are we just having her there? Are we having her perform? Like, what's... He's like, no, I just want her sort of milling about and just being Taylor Swift. And I was like, fair enough.
When it's like, could be everything and you could make dead people alive, then I would like to have a chat with Leigh Stanley from Alice in Chains. Nice. And Mac Miller sitting right next to me. I'm in the middle and we just have a talk. That would be my thing.
Yeah, that works. I mean, I've never had anyone resurrect the dead, so that's a new one on me. But yeah, we can do that. Absolutely. I love that. I've got one final question for you. A question I've asked every single artist who's been on the show, and I'm so grateful for your time today. And it's a very simple question. What is the best thing about being in the band for you personally?
Friendship.
Yeah, just is that you're not nice.
That's it.
Yeah, I love it. Love it, love it, love it, love it. Because some people give me an elaborate answer, but the point of that question is it's personal to you. And friendship is, yeah, I love that. I love that. Fabio, this has been fantastic, my friend. Slope's new album Freak Dreams is out on the 2nd of February 2024, which will be out shortly after this podcast or shortly before. I'm not too sure on the scheduling just at this moment in time. But anything you want to say to the people listening and watching at home?
Yeah, thanks for supporting our music. Hopefully see some of you on our tour or when we head in the UK. And thank you for your time and interest in Slope.
It's fair, mate. It's absolutely good. No worries. One thing I will say is if the people who run and look after Outbreak are listening, get Slope to fucking Outbreak, because I'm currently not going. I went last year, it was amazing, but I'm currently not going. But I think that will be the one that tips me over, because...
Yeah, we definitely would come back. We played Outbreak, I think, 3 years ago or 4 years ago.
For sure.
And we definitely would be up to go again.
Absolutely. Definitely. Absolutely. Lovely, mate. Thank you so much for your time. I hope everything goes smoothly and fantastically with the album. As I say, I think it's wicked. And I have alluded to my partner. This is a big thing because people love hearing my end of year list, right? And I know we're only, as this comes out in February, but you are in amongst it. So
business, thank you, bro.
Business end of the year. We'll see if Slope is still there. But you're currently right up there. So, yeah, lovely job. Thank you so much, mate. We'll hope to catch you soon.
Thank you. Take care. And we see us in UK when we play.
Absolutely. Lovely job. Cheers, mate. Bye.